Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have an amazing show for you today. Today's TGIF, thank God, is Friday show, has a diverse group, but when you talk to them, you'll be able to see some of the similarities that I've already seen backstage. But I want to ask you to do what I always ask you to do before I get into the show, and that is to go ahead and wake that person up, pick the person who is sleeping the most peacefully, resting, enjoying their dreams. I want you to go talk to them and let them know the Roundtable Talk Show is live. If you haven't spoke to Granny, your uncle in Ohio, whoever it is, I want you to get on the phone right now, call them and let them know the Roundtable Talk Show is on, because we're providing you with so much information that you will be taking notes by the end of the show. So while you're being an evangelist and you're actively going out and bringing people into the show, whether you're texting them, tweeting them, sharing the show today, I guarantee you don't want to miss this show because it's TGIF. And I always say, on Friday, I have no idea what I'm going to say, but I know it's going to be interesting. So while you're doing that, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest, who is Mr. Michael Lewis of the Blaine Group. He's an author of 4 books, and he was in his career for many years before deciding to go out and help. Michael Lewis, tutor. If this was a set, I would just have to start all over, right? Scratch that, edit that out, because I mixed the introductions. Why, people? Because it's Friday. So I apologize to Michael Lewis. So we want to go to Tudor Financial Advisors. And he has been in business for over 30 years in his career in financial services before deciding to go out and change the world and help people. So now he focuses on financial awareness programs for those in recovery to live a sober life. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you, Sharifa? Nothing like live radio. It sounds to me like, and it's happened before, Michael Lewis is a famous author. He's written a lot of books and done a lot of movies. I'm older than him, so I make the claim that he took my name. I didn't take his.
I like that. And that's one of those, like, when you're doing live, it's like great comeback, great recovery, because I was all over the place. But thank you for being here. And you know, one of the things that I really think is going to unite us today, and we'll get to the other guests, but you all totally kind of pivoted in some form of way from being in one direction to saying, you know what, I want to do something for the greater good. So talk to us a little bit about your financial awareness programs and why you decided to do them.
Well, the reason, so to back up, I've spent 30 years working on financial services, international financial services, moved around a lot, started in New York, lived in Toronto for 10 years, and came back to the U.S. Ultimately, it was coming down to, I thought I was ready to retire, turned out I wasn't. Our family has had issues with addiction. We have a son who is now almost 5 years clean and sober, but he spent 13 years going from program to program. It put a lot of strain on us as a family. It put a lot of strain on us from a financial perspective. And I felt that the lessons that I learned and the mistakes that I've made, if I can help another family avoid those mistakes and get them to feel hopeful and a little bit more in control, then that was, to me, my calling. I always say, for most people who are servicing people in the addiction community, you didn't choose addiction. Addiction chose you. Everybody that I know in the industry, and it's mostly people that I've met over the last 18 months, are incredibly compassionate, but have all a, you know, some of them are incredibly tragic stories. Some of them are very empowering stories and uplifting stories. I'd like to think the way our situation finished, it's very uplifting. And our son is the motivation for why I do what we do. For us, we learned that you know, when you have a child who is at the age of 14 in a program or series of programs for 13 years, he's basically missed out most of his informative years. He is in, you know, a situation where you're spending so much time trying to right this ship, as it were, with respect to his substance abuse and any underlying psychological issues that might be there, that he's also lost 13 years of living experience. And while we spend so much time trying to get family members well, we also have to spend an equal amount of time of getting them ready to come back into society and to live a, you know, not a sheltered life, but they have to be fully integrated. They got to be able to transact as the way the rest of us do. They need to be able to socialize. They need to be able to hold a job. And in 13 years, when you're constantly exposed to, you know, techniques to deal with, you know, your affliction, and not getting the same level of attention on growing up and becoming a person, I felt that, you know, by offering these kinds of services to, I'm sorry, I'm stumbling for the word here, recovery homes, that you can help these, and I use the word children, but they're not children, they're young adults. Some of them are in their 50s. I mean, the thing with addiction is that it affects people at all different ages, at all different socioeconomic backgrounds, but you can help them and build confidence through education. And I have found that the people that I talk with from a finance perspective are incredibly curious. You'd think that they have no long-term goals, but I can't tell you how many times people have talked about planning for retirement or planning for starting a family. You know, the other side of the equation is the benefactors who are paying for this recovery. It is a very expensive course of treatment, not always covered by insurance. You're at your worst in terms of being in an emotional state that you're probably not in a position that you should be making financial decisions, yet you're forced to. You have no choice. I mean, in some ways, you know, there's a life on the line. And
I understand that. So let me just ask you this, Michael. When many people go through these situations, either they just feel like, okay, I'm going to handle it, or they feel like, I don't want to talk about it because this is our family's little secret that we don't want to share. But what made you decide that you wanted to actually do something about it? I mean, because they could also say that's what the recovery homes are there for. That's what the doctors are there for. They're responsible for getting the families this information. What made you decide to actually actively focus on this?
You know, you hit upon a couple of really interesting points. Probably the most important one is the notion of a stigma, not willing to talk to anybody about it. We have felt very strongly that at the time we were going through it, the emphasis was very much on individual therapy. You take the person who has the substance abuse disorder and you work on him and get him right. And they ignored the family dynamic. I mean, in the end, if you're going to heal, you have to heal as a family. Well, no one ever really explained it to us. And so you have your loved one that's working very hard on trying to get himself back into life and society. And then you have parents who are either don't realize that they too, it's not about being responsible, but they have a need to also make some changes. You have to set proper boundaries. Well, no one ever explained all this to us. So you stumble across it. I mean, 13 years to get to the point where he's 5 years. So that's a lot of time, right?
Yes.
And you never get that back. And the reason that we're so motivated to do this is we believe that families need to understand the realities of finance. It clearly takes its toll if you're not careful. But more importantly, you need to spend the time to heal as a family. And quite frankly, that is an emotional, you know, you're giving yourself so much of it that it's very easy to ignore the reality, the other realities of life. I mean, in my particular instance, at one point we were so concerned about our son, that our daughter basically said, do I have to become an addict in order for me to get the amount of attention that he's getting? And you realize that it's very easy to get lost in this. And so the reason that we want to get involved is to make sure that not only the individual is getting the healing, but the family stays intact and doesn't go down a rabbit hole financially that destroys everyone.
Yes, it can destroy the family financially, emotionally, spiritually. You never know, because we have to find me. My focus is on reuniting the family. So, Michael, I am going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest and talk to him a little bit, because he's also focused on healing and helping people. Dr. John is with us of the Blaine Group. He's the author of 4 books, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about his views on the epidemic of the 3 severe health issues. Good morning, Dr. John. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. And I'm glad to hear what Michael had to say, because when you send me the Michael's information, there's a sentence there that made me curious, because he's dedicated to serving the needs of families battling addiction. Mm-hmm. So addiction to what? Mm-hmm. If you look at that, can you see that word there?
Yes, yes.
What does it, it does not say addiction, it says addition. Mm-hmm. So that, I was glad to hear that he's helping with something.
not just mathematics.
Anyway. I'm originally from India. I got my medical degree in India. I went to Scotland to do an internship. I came to this country in 1970, did 2 years of residency, 2 years of fellowship. During my practice, my family members started having problems with diabetes. One of my relatives got both her legs amputated. In spite of taking insulin and keeping the A1C below normal. Another person got heart attack in spite of taking cholesterol medication. Then I developed cancer in spite of being not overweight, exercising. So all these led one to another. And what I found in common for all of these was our dietary or lifestyle habits. Mm-hmm. 60 years ago, we had a green revolution and we had an abundance of grains. Mm-hmm. In my view, nature never meant grains for humans. Otherwise, we would have had beaks to pick it up and the ability to digest the chaff. We don't. Mm-hmm. But in order to feed the whole hungry population, grains was the easiest. So we had an abundance of grains. Mm-hmm. And that added to the obesity problem, because every government subsidized grain farming. Mm-hmm. The cheapest food available, the most easily available foods are all made with grains. Mm-hmm. When is the last time you had a meal or a snack without having a grain product? So instead of 35% of the energy coming from carbohydrates, in the modern day diet, 50 to 70% come from grain-based food energy, mm-hmm. especially in the lower strata of the society. The poorer you are, the more grain-based foods you eat, because they are the cheapest. Mm-hmm. So this is why that segment of the population is having more type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and cancer. Mm-hmm. Now, you can ask the question, if you inject somebody with insulin, the blood sugar goes down, where does it go? It does not go out of the body. Mm-hmm. So what good is that? Even if you keep the A1C below 7, you still have kidney problems, eye problems, heart problems, Alzheimer's. So what good is insulin? Now, you take a cholesterol medication, your cholesterol level goes down. Where did that cholesterol go? It did not go out of the body. Now, you have cancer. There's an increasing incidence of cancer. What is cancer? Cancer is nothing but uncontrolled multiplication of a cell. And cancer cells It's called cancer stem cells. The mother cell is called a stem cell. It produces baby cells. And that's how cancer grows. Cancer does not produce any toxin. It does not attack the neighboring tissue or organs. But how does cancer cause death? The cancer causes death because it deprives normal cells of nutrients, not by invasion. If the most important cancer for men are prostate cancer. Out of 100 people with prostate cancer, only 30 will die, 70 will not. What's the difference? In these 30, the cancer goes to other parts of the body. They start colonies. If we can confine the cancer to one area, prevent it from growing, then you won't die from it. How can you do that? Don't feed the cancer cell. How do you do that? Cancer cell selectively absorbs glucose. Glucose is sugar. They need that to produce the energy and the material to construct new cells. Where does that glucose come from? From grains. The most important source of glucose in the body is not the sugar you put in, but grains. Grains are absorbed into the body as glucose, and you're feeding the cancer cell. So all you have to do is to cut down all these three conditions, lifestyle conditions. Reduce the intake of energy from grains to one half of what you're doing right now. Then you are in charge, not your doctor.
Wow, that was a lot, Dr. John. I felt the energy, I felt the truth in what you were saying. And I think that's amazing. We always feel like there's nothing we can do, that we're helpless, that we have to go to the doctors, we have to take this insulin. But like you said, there are people who will survive, and then there were people who, as long as it doesn't spread, or when it spreads, they won't. But one of the things that was so key for me is I was kind of thinking about what Michael was talking about as far as addictions. And we don't often take a look at how the addictions affect other people and the families around us. But sugar can be one of the most addictive things there are. People say that sugar is so much more addictive than cocaine or harder drugs. And we don't understand the harm that sugar is doing to us.
Can I make a slight correction?
Yes.
It is sweetness, not sugar. When you say sugar, there is blood sugar and natural sugar. Blood sugar is glucose. Natural sugar is sucrose.
Okay.
That word is confusing.
Okay.
Concerned about blood sugar. Yes, that is dangerous. But that blood sugar comes from grains, not from natural sugar.
Grain. So we have to take a look at our grain intake. I've never, this is news to me. I've never heard this in my life. That's why I love talking to people and trying to understand that the focus should be on grains.
Because that word sugar is confusing. You have to differentiate blood sugar. What is the source of blood sugar? That is the problem. Mm-hmm. That is not regular sugar, but grains.
Okay, so I can have the ice cream, but I can't have the bread.
Exactly. You got it.
I'm learning. Because I'm trying to change. I'm trying to be a better person. That's why I want to know, what am I doing? What do I need to do?
When you meant ice cream, I have one question. That is, can you think in nature of any food that adult humans can get nutrients from without chewing?
I'm stumped.
Without chewing.
I'm stumped.
Is there any food? Anything in nature that adults can get nutrients from without chewing?
Not that I know of.
Right. That's why my first book is called Eat, Chew, Live. We are eating things without chewing. When you stop chewing, you swallow. So yes. All the soft foods, you end up eating more.
So no ice cream then. I got it. Give up the ice cream, because I don't, I was going to ask another question, but I'm going to come back to you, Dr. John. But I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. I always tell people, when you come on the roundtable talk show or any of the panels, I tend to just hold on to you, because when I meet great people, I'm like, okay, they're amazing. I want them to be a part of everything that I'm doing. And I also want more people to meet them. And I met the next guest, Kristen Fenrick, on a panel, and she just blew me away. She is the founder of her own company, and we're going to hear about her story, Clearly, Kristen Drury. Good morning, Kristen. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you for being here. Did I say your business name, your company name correctly?
It's clearly Kristen Incorporated, but yes, we are a fashion jewelry and accessories brand. So that's awesome. Yeah.
Did you create those earrings?
These are part of my brand. Yes, ma'am. So very, very fun, very bright and colorful, which is part of what I really like to do. But we have a lot of different styles. This is just one of them. But, you know, I want to start by saying thank you to Michael for your story. And, you know, Michael, what a lot of people don't know about me, and I've been recently letting it out because the word stigma that you mentioned is one of those that's very important, right, is what people think about, is I actually am a recovering, or I've already recovered from drug and alcohol abuse. It's just, when I think about the series and the time that I went through in my life and what I was going through, and when I hear about families like yours, I was an adult, like I was in my 40s and had experienced a lot of trauma, lots of situations that I just did not ever have the opportunity to stop and just deal with. And I remember at the time I was in corporate sales and was working for a really big company, and my life literally was falling apart. Like everything was just boom. And when I went one day to one of my supervisors and I was like, literally coming, the words were about to come out of my mouth about what's going on, he stopped me and said, I don't want to hear it. Like, I don't have time for you to fall apart right now. We've got goals to hit. We've got metrics, numbers. I don't want to hear it. And so I swallowed and I brought it back in and I said, you know what? Okay. Don't want to hear it. I get it. I am a valuable member of this team. I need to do my job. I need to figure it out. So I turned to drugs, alcohol, whatever I could do to numb the pain that was underneath the surface, because I didn't have time to fall apart. And I think that when we look at a lot of adults that go through drug addiction or alcohol addiction or whatever addiction it is, it can be food, it can be sex, it can be whatever that thing is. Many times the underlying tone is they are dealing with undealt with trauma, undealt with pain, undealt with hurt, healing, all of these things. And life will tell you to just keep going. Just keep going, just keep going, and keep throwing layers on top of it and layers on top of it. And like you were speaking on, even with your son, is before you know it, you wake up and 5 years have passed, 10 years have passed, and you're like, what just happened, right? So on the outside, it may look like everything is fine, everything is perfect, things are moving forward, people are like seeing you and they think, oh, she's doing great, which what they don't know is, and this is like, I still to this day can't believe it, is here I am in a suit and tie, driving a nice car, you know, and I'm like trying to search for drugs in like a bad, like really bad neighborhood in Atlanta, because I'm trying to find what I need at that moment, right? And that's the behind the scenes thing that people are not seeing. They're not seeing me trying to figure out how to come off the road in like, okay, what am I going to do now? Because I got to figure out where I can go. I'm stopping at like a rest stop, trying to figure out different. It's like the shame and the stigma behind it. No one wants to speak about it and no one wants to bring it to the light. And so that's part of my mission of what I'm doing now within my company. So as Sharifa mentioned, I do have a fashion jewelry and accessories brand, but it's so much more than that. We've done some major pivots through COVID-19, and we are now releasing as a direct sales company. And that should be happening by January of 2021. And the whole point of that is to give income opportunities and financial independence opportunities to others. Part of the reason why I was hustling and working so hard is I had left a very bad situation as far as like my home situation. And I even had a girlfriend had done the same too. It's just there was so much that was going on. My friend was in an abusive relationship. She left her husband, and I had done the same thing that previous year. And we were both just trying to figure out who we were and just being out there and doing what we needed to do and figuring out how to be single moms and figuring out how to take care of the kids and still try to keep a six-figure income like going, right? You're still trying to figure out how you can make this money because you got this mortgage, you've got these cars, you've got this whole like life that you're trying not to have implode. And unfortunately, in November of 2015, I made it through my situation, but my friend was murdered by her husband.
Oh, wow. And I'm trying to hear that.
Yes. So all of this is going on, and years of it put on top of years, on top of years, and on top of years, and on top of years. And it's just enough is enough. And so what my company is doing now is to really help shed a light on these issues. And so even what you're saying, Michael and John, what you're saying, and I'm sure the other young lady here that's on the panel with us too, we all have had these things that you just have to shed a light on it. And being on panels like this allows us all to have that opportunity to speak it, because you just never know whose life that you can speak into. And so, you know, our mission of our company is to really help people, to empower them to financial independence. And then our social responsibility is really looking at how we can do things to help prevent domestic violence, looking at substance abuse programs and how we can help people get out of that. And then the last piece that we're seeing now is really the rise of homelessness. And I'm really beginning to see how addiction is really playing so heavily into the homeless population. I'm seeing kids out on the street that are in their 20s, and it's just, and I don't know if it's because their parents don't have the financial means or capabilities to deal with the addiction. So many times it's just easier to just send them out of the home and into the streets. And so that other piece of that is recovery, right? Is getting these kids back home. Figuring out how we can do different things to, you know, help them and figure out how you can reunite them back to their families and back to their loved ones. And then giving their loved ones those resources that they need so that they're able to actually take care of them to get them to the next step. So it's a community approach. You know, I think all of us have a piece to play. The stigma of it, it's not, doesn't matter who you are. You could be a 40-year-old successful businesswoman that nobody knows is on this other side doing what she's doing to cover the pain, or you could be a 19-year-old student who got involved in a situation that's trying to find themselves out of. So we all have to do our part to help lift each other to get to that next place.
Wow, Kristen, thank you for being so vulnerable. Thank you for being so authentic. And that's what I talked about earlier. We all seem so different. We all seem like we're talking about different things. And then you start the show and all of a sudden you share your story, which isn't different from Michael's story. You know, we're all connected in more ways than we want to think about sometimes. So I just appreciate you for being vulnerable, but also appreciate you for being socially responsible with your company. I think that's amazing. I would stand and give you a standing ovation if I could on the show, because I definitely applaud you. Now I want to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, which is Ms. Vashali. You saw her a couple of days ago on the show. And if you tune in and come to my two-day empowerment teleconference on October 9th and October 10th, my Power by Purpose empowerment experience, you will see this young lady, because she was here before and she just wowed us. So she's going to present at the seminar, but she is, and she showed us her talent on the last show. She is a psychic business consultant. Good morning, Ms. Vashali. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I'm doing very well. How about you?
I'm excited to have you back.
I'm glad to be here. I thought there was some computer programming mistake, but I said, okay, I'll go.
I don't know. I love when people come back. I love when people return, especially people with a certain energy. And I find that people who have a unique talent or in a unique industry, they always love the show because we get to talk about what they do because most people may not understand it. But you are a psychic business consultant. You showed us some of your talents on the last show, but I would love to hear your thoughts on what we've discussed thus far on the show because I know something has come to you.
Sure. You must be psychic.
I am. That's what they keep telling me.
So I was listening to Kristen. I'll just touch upon all of the guests. I was listening to Kristen's story and what she was saying about building up those layers of stuff. And that's something that everyone does to a certain extent. And there are techniques to psychically ground those energies because we are all a spirit in a body, and our body kind of changes as we grow older. And as far as the spirit is concerned, it's almost like you're shoving all that information in the spirit, and there is no way to be able to release that. And you can use different techniques like maybe grounding meditations and things like that to be able to release those energies so that you kind of clear the space from the spirit. And once you heal the spirit, then the spirit heals the body. It's kind of like having a garage and then you just keep piling things up and up and up. And at some point it kind of looks like, oh my God, how am I going to clean this? Like, let's say you have to move out or sell your house. But the thing is, it didn't kind of get there overnight. You know, it kind of accumulated over the years. So in the same way, if we just do maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes of a meditation in the morning and sort of clear those energies, then we are also making space for new things to come in. And just going back to the analogy of the garage, it's like if we keep it clean, then you know we have space to store new things or bring new things in. So we can do the same thing with our bodies. And I talk a little bit about it on my podcast, which is called The Uncanny Link, of how the spirit and the body are kind of intermingled because we are a spirit in a body and how we can use those senses of the spirit to get more information. Mm-hmm. So for instance, in the instance that her manager asked her to keep her mouth shut or not want to hear it, if she had started releasing those energies right then and there, then things may have taken a different course, for lack of a better sentence.
Yes. Often, so, you know, what happens, I believe, in life is that we can look back at any situation and we can say, you could have done this, you should have done this, this may have been a better alternative. But I think that's why we live and learn, and everything that we go through is for someone else. It's for someone else to learn from. I've been divorced twice. I've been homeless. I done lost everything but the clothes on my back. I've been laid off 8 times and I just brush it off because when someone comes to me or I'm speaking with someone on a show, I can relate to them in their situation because of the things that I've gone through. So I always use it as a learning lesson. And this is a lesson that Kristen can use to help other people. I wanted to also talk about something else that Kristen said when she was talking about the manager and shoving it down. People always talk about PTSD. And one of my biggest focuses is I believe everybody in the world suffers from PTSD, not just vets, because as a society, we don't take the time to allow people to heal. We, whatever the situation is, you done lost your mom, you're going through all these terrible issues. It's like, it doesn't matter. That's exactly what she was saying. It's like, it doesn't matter. You got a job to do and you do it. And so exactly what Vishali was saying, we push those things down into our garage or to our body because we don't have the luxury of dealing with them or handling them, you know? So I definitely understand, but I want to go over to Michael real quick. And I want to give you a opportunity to respond if you had any thoughts. I know Kristen referenced your story and what you were saying. Did you have any thoughts, Michael?
Well, first of all, Kristen, thanks for sharing. I think Sharifa, you had mentioned one of the most important things that as people we can do is just be true to ourselves and need to just understand, you know, who we are. I often talk about it's not so important to understand how we got to where we are. It's really, what are we going to do going forward? But, you know, we talk about these unique times, and, you know, we're all, as individuals, as families, as a society, we're in uncharted waters for many, you know, almost every aspect of our life has been affected, altered, and changed. And, you know, Dr. John, you had mentioned that, I know it said addiction, but even addiction, I never said addiction to what, because in all honesty, you know, you could be addicted to alcohol, drugs, sex, you had mentioned. But I'm going to throw another one out there, because with what's going on in the world today, there are so many people that are now forced into being sole entrepreneurs because they have no choice. And in fact, you can find yourself even being addicted to business, you know, or money. And the fact is, if you're not aware of it, it can consume you. And the interesting thing that I find with respect to people who are, and I'm not saying everybody who's in business is addicted to business. I mean, that's not the message, but it's very easy to get addicted to business, because unlike, you know, drugs or alcohol, when you're doing business, in the end, you're doing what you think you need to do in order to take care of yourself, to take care of your family. But it's easy to get lost in that. Part of what I try to do is, and we talked a little bit about this before, this is just the importance of setting boundaries. You know, when it comes to entrepreneurs, you want to set boundaries so that you don't take your personal and family fortune and put it at risk in a business venture, because it's, for some people, the addiction can be so strong that it's very difficult for them to see that it's not working. And it is time to pivot. And there is really, if you think about it, all the stigmas associated with all the other addictions really doesn't sit with this one. I mean, to your point, Kristen, you know, your boss is sitting there going, you don't have a problem because you're being productive. I need you to be productive.
Yeah, and it's interesting, everything that you're saying, Michael, right now, because, yeah, that's when I was in corporate America, you know? So now just imagine I've had this shift. And by the way, I also wanted to make a comment. You know, number one, that God was who delivered me from all of this, plain and simple, period. God, I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. Like, literally, it is my faith. It is my love for just the word. It is all of that that has given me the light that I needed to find myself out to the other side. Because even if at some point I walked away from it, I didn't really give it up, though. It was still somewhere there in me, and you just replace it with something else. But it was because over the last year, really the last couple of years, that God has really placed me in a new place and really given me that time to heal, given me that time to reflect, giving me that time to sit back and think about it and really understand who I am and understand my purpose. Because at the end of the day, to what Sharifa's point is, everything that I've gone through is part of my purpose. It's part of the unique design of who I am and why I was created. And you go through these different things in your life because you are able to now speak to somebody. Empathy, like the word empathy, means that you actually understand because you've gone through something. You can't be empathetic to people if you have no idea what that means, to not know, okay, where my next meal is going to come from, to not know how I'm going to be able to pay my light bill, to not know, okay, I don't have a car, I'm walking around, I'm taking the bus. Whatever those things are that you go through in life, through whatever circumstances happen to you, they're all there to help you be able to tell your story. And so, Michael, it's interesting you said the addiction to business, because in how many entrepreneurs are out there right now? So can you imagine, I'm deep into like this business and I'm like, oh, I'm finally seeing everything is starting to come together. Like my people, the words, everything, everybody's like lining up in place. My revenues are not where I want it to be, but everything else looks perfect. And like, literally, God's like, put it down. Stop. I want you to walk away from that right now. And I'm like, what? Walk away from it. I need you to go over there and sit down, and I need you to rest. And literally arrested me in the spirit to stop moving. And that was a lesson, because I needed to do that. Because just as you're saying, if you don't take that time to just stop, reassess, reevaluate, see what's really going on behind the scenes, uncover that box that you might have been keep putting away because you're like, nope, I'm gonna keep moving. It's the same thing that happens with business. And so you do have to push back from the table and reassess, look at your risk, see what's really going on, understand who your team is, you know, replace, restructure, reshift, and you can't be afraid to do that. And many business owners, when you're in that place of like, you're rising, right? You think this is not the time for that. No, I'm not gonna do that. But that's actually the perfect time to do what you're saying, right? That's the perfect time to pause, perfect time to walk over there and say, you know what? I'm gonna take a 3-week vacation and y'all ain't gonna see me and we're closing down the doors here because I need to go sit. I need to go reassess. I need to go sit with the Lord. I need to understand what the real purpose, vision, all of this is, because otherwise you just keep running and you're running like a gerbil in a yep. in a craziness and you're not going anywhere.
Absolutely. So Dr. John, one of the things that you mentioned is the people around you who were suffering from these illnesses, as well as yourself being diagnosed with this illness. How did you, I don't want to use the word heal yourself, but how did you change your situation? I'll phrase it like that. What did you start doing?
Before I go into my condition, can I make two observations from that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The two words are, one is addiction, second God. Now, why do we have addiction? Because we are stressed. When you are stressed, the adrenaline and cortisol, stress hormones are released and you need an outlet. Mm-hmm. And some people go to smoking, some people go to drinking, some people go to drugs. And there another addiction, which is food. Yes. Why? Because it's an instant pleasure. Mm-hmm. The opposite of stress, to heal the stress or to feel good, you can reach out for food. And that's one of the reasons why we are having so many lifestyle associated conditions. It's easy to do, it's cheap, it is available, it is ready. Now, Christian mentioned the word God made her, you know, helped her there. But God only gives you the opportunities. Christian, you had to choose. And it is your commitment to be better, to get out of the situation you are in. If you did not choose, it would not have worked.
It's obedience, yes.
Yeah, so you are in charge. The same way with our lifestyle conditions. The person has to be in charge. If I want to eat, if I feel like eating, I have to ask the question, am I hungry? Because nature put in a specific signal for you to eat. If you are not hungry, what business do you have eating? And if you eat, you suffer the consequences. Can you say, our God made me eat? It doesn't work that way. You have to do your part.
Amen. Go ahead, Dr. Amen. John. You preaching today. I'm sorry. The spirit was moving.
I always talk about that it's faith and it's action, right? So, and a lot of times people do forget the action piece, right? You do have to put that behind it. So you have to make the proper decisions, the proper choices, and follow in obedience. Absolutely.
Yes, and definitely obedience, because one of the things that I talk about being laid off 8 times, it all started with the argument with God. And the people are like, you had an argument. I'm like, yes, because God told me, I want you to help people. And I'm like, no, I'm not helping the people. Let the people figure it out on their own. I'm getting me a job. And I get a job, 6 months to the day, I'd be laid off. And God would say, I want you to help people. And I would say, I'm not helping the people. I'm going to give me a job. And then 6 months to the day I got the job, I'd be laid off. And God would say, I want you. And we did this 8 times until I had to say, I hear and I obey. So again, like Dr. John was saying, at some point I had to choose to obey. And I'm so glad that you chose to obey, Kristen, because it's a blessing to have you here today and to have you being vulnerable and authentic and sharing your story, because you are correct. If I were to look at you and just, you know, sum you up, I would never have imagined that you had that type of history. And it happens to everyone. Dr. John, you were going to say something? I'm sorry.
In order for us to understand what God has made for us, we need to have a calm mind. That's where Vishali comes in. You see what she's saying? You have to meditate. You have to calm down. You have to listen. If you're already involving with a stress-inducing problem, the brain works by adding more and more neurons, expanding on the stress. You get deeper and deeper into it. So we need to empty the mind, clear it, and listen, be calm, and see what are my options. If you don't do that, you won't even see the opportunities that you have out there.
Yes, Vishali, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's important to just sit and observe. Either the best time to do it is maybe early in the morning when you wake up, like 15, 20 minutes. So whenever I wake up, I always take time to meditate daily. So after 21 days or so, it will become a habit. Mm-hmm. And then also late at night, you can just sort of reflect on the day and just say, because I'm a psychic, I kind of look at things and I say, I ask myself, you know, what is it that I could have done better? And if it's just something really minor, I just go and tweak those things and clean those things up. If it's something really major, I put it on my list of things to do. But that's really what helps us to move forward, because like everyone was mentioning, we get so caught up in the day-to-day rut that it's kind of hard to escape it. So we need time and space for ourselves to just reflect on what's really going on.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. Michael, you were going to say something?
The link between recovery and faith is incredibly well documented. Everybody has talked about it. You know, with my son, he chose AA, which, as we all know, stresses the sense of giving yourself into a higher power. And I agree with, you know, basically everybody who's on this call here. For whatever reasons, and the world is now with more stress than we've ever seen. We're all locked in with our families, our loved ones. We've got no place to hide. We are basically normalizing some very abnormal behavior, which has been a concern of mine, you know, for a while. I was able to participate in a local article here saying, is COVID creating the next generation of addicts? Because, you know, you're sitting in a room and now all of a sudden, it's okay to be on the computer 8-10 hours a day because you have nothing else to do. It's okay to start drinking at 9-10 o'clock because you got nothing else to do. And you're in a, you know, an environment where your kids are seeing this. And it's, my fear is that they're going to see this as now acceptable, where, you know, no one here would be trying to teach this kind of behavior. And it's important that as we go through this, that as you said, I'm sorry if I get your name wrong, Vishali, that you know, mindfulness and spirituality is incredibly important at this time. So I'm just glad to hear everybody, you know, having an open discussion about addiction. I think if we tried to have this conversation years ago, we would have been dead silence on the phone. Oh, it's not me. You know, I don't know anybody who's doing this. I'm convinced that by just having a conversation, the fact is everybody knows somebody that's going through it, and we can all help them just by having the conversation and teaching what it is we know through our own life experiences and making them realize they're not alone.
I agree, which reminds me of something that Kristen had said earlier. When I was running for Long Beach City Council, we did a lot more community outreach, and I spoke with a lot of homeless people. And one of the things I talked about is before we can change any situation, we have to give people hope. because without hope, they're unwilling to make the changes in their lives. Most people feel, at least here in Long Beach, when you have an average studio apartment, just a studio apartment is running at $1,200, $1,400. You know, when you start getting into one bedroom, two bedroom, the cost of living is so high, and yet unemployment is so high. And so many people feel that they are unable to change their situation. And I remember one gentleman in particular who was speaking to me. He said, Sharifa, I'm an engineer. I'm a trained engineer. And he went, and I believe most people are one paycheck away from being homeless. But he was telling me his story, and he was telling me the different things that happened to him. And I'm watching him, and in my head, I'm going, this guy is clearly a junkie. And he looked at me, and he said to me, he said, Sharifa, I do drugs, but I wasn't on drugs when I became homeless. And it was just like the simplest thing, but it just surprised me in his vulnerability that he had this whole entire life, and yet being on the streets, he needed something to cope. And it's like, okay, I feel like we can handle the addiction conversation, but let's work on ways to give people hope that if they do clean themselves up and they do make changes, that there are homes and jobs for them to go back to. I don't know, maybe that's just me, my soapbox this morning, but that's the feeling that I took away from it.
Well, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I'll make this quick. Purpose and long-term goals are an incredible motivator. When you deal with people with addictive personalities, they are so short-term focused because they have no long-term goals. And when you have long-term goals, short-term impulses win every time. You spend money, you're going, what do I got to live for, right? I got no hope.
That's what I'm saying.
So if I'm making good money, I might as well blow it now, because what's the point? I'm not going to be here forever. But when you replace that hopelessness with hope and you start giving them goals and dreams and start getting them to think about, hey, what's life going to be like 10, 15, 20 years from now? And all of a sudden it's like, yeah, you know, maybe I do want to get married. Yeah, maybe I do want to take care of my kids. Yeah, maybe I want to take my wife on a holiday. Maybe I do want to stop working. That competition is incredibly healthy. And, you know, it's kind of a conflict. When you're in recovery, they tell you one day at a time. And if you get through the day, that's a good thing. In finance, that's a horrible way. You have to have time for things to happen, you know.
And to grow.
Time works with finance, but until you have a goal, an objective, and a purpose, which I think for my son, when he started to realize that, you know, he does have life beyond just recovery, that's when things change. That's when things happen. And what I hear from everybody on this call is we're all trying to help people not only just identify ways to do things better, but give them a reason to do it. And that purpose is an incredible, powerful motivator.
Yes, Chris.
And Sharifa, what you're saying about hope. So we go out on the weekends and we're out with the homeless and we're looking at like ways to, we're praying with them, feeding them. And it's beyond that though. Like one of the immediate things that I saw as a beyond need, a lot of them it's, who is it that we can connect you with? Who is it? How do we connect your resources? Like, is there somebody that we can call that's in your family that maybe is somebody that we can reach out to? Some of them don't want to. Some of them do. Some are literally, they just need a bus ticket to get back to where they came from, wherever it is that they started and ended up three cities away. They just need a bus ticket to get back home. You know, you just never know. But I think it's us asking the questions. It's asking that question. It's saying to them, well, okay, if we can move you from here, what is your short-term goal? What is your midterm goal? What is your long-term goal? And really helping people to establish that, because everybody needs hope. Everybody needs to know what their future's like, what's going to be coming down the horizon. Everybody needs a goal to work toward. Without goals, we're all lost, right? You have to have a goal, whether it's goal for weight loss, whether it's goal for financial stability, whether it's goal for whatever, to get a home. Maybe it's just something as simple as getting off the streets to get into an apartment, to be able to provide for your kids. So we do have to do our part, but we have to ask people too. We can't just sit and assume what people need, right? Mm-hmm. We have to be able to like ask them the questions that they need to ask without judgment and really find out how we can better assist those that are in need right now. So we're not just making blanket what we think somebody needs, because I'm real guilty of that. Like I can devise a whole plan for somebody, right? And they're like, that wasn't what I was talking about.
I did the same thing. I plan people's lives, so I move them around. This is where I need them to go. This is where you are. And I'm like, well, maybe I should ask them. I'd be like, no, they might want to go a different direction. I like my plan for their life. No.
So I have freed myself from planning for other people's lives. And now I'm asking the questions. How can I serve you? How can I help you? What can I do to help you get to your next place? Because we're, and also one last thing with this, Sharif, you also can't create for people what they don't want for their own selves.
Yes, I think that's beautiful. And I think that's deep, because I was having this conversation with someone else the other day. I think it was a relative who had disappointed me in some of her decisions. And I was like, but the thing is, I see so much potential in you. I see in my mind's eye, like with Shia, she's a psychic, but I saw in my mind's eye what she could be, and she wasn't living up to that potential, and I was disappointed. So we had to talk through it. But sometimes we see for other people, and I'm sure Michael experienced that as well. You see for other people what they're unable to see for themselves. I have definitely enjoyed this conversation, and like I say, it always works. It always just organically develops into what we have in common, and we're all here focused on making this world a better place. Now we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show, and what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who's watching it in the archives, and simply let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to go ahead and start with you, Vaishali.
So what I would like the audience to take away is to get future guidance or listen to what message the universe is trying to give you. You can tune into my podcast. It's called The Uncanny Link. And I talk about various ways how everyone can receive messages from the universe. And everyone is wired differently, and you'll definitely find a way that works for you. And it's called The Uncanny Link.
Thank you. Dr. John, what do you have for us?
Well, my message to everyone listening is, first of all, I thank you for listening. You have to be in charge of your body, then you can be the master of your body. You can reach me on my website, Dr. John on Health. com for more information. And Sharifa, I thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. I thank you for enlightening me on greens. I got, or grains, sorry. I got to 44 and I've never heard this about grains. And people were, you know, over the years, because my mom was one of those mothers that always took us for a treat. Like that was her thing. Let's go get a treat. Let's go get an ice cream. Let's go get this. Let's go get that. And we look back at like, oh my God, how much sugar we took in. So now I'm focused on the grains. We didn't know.
Yes, you can eat some ice cream, don't get me wrong, but make it small. But grains, cut down to half of what you're eating now, a lot of your health problems will go away.
I'll definitely do that. Michael, what do you have for us?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for inviting me on to the show. I found this very, very energizing, very uplifting. The message I would like to leave everyone is, don't be afraid to ask for help. Life is hard enough as it is. If you find yourself in a situation where you're stressed out about money or life, your health or spirituality, get the help you seek, get the help you deserve. I'm here to help families who are struggling with addiction and help them prepare financially to insulate and protect themselves. Please visit my website, www.tutorfinancial.com, and we'll all get through this together.
Amen. We definitely will. Kristen.
Yes, so my name is Kristen Fenrick, and my business, my company name is clearlykristen.com, and that's with the K. So www.clearlykristen.com, and I would love for you guys to come and support our business, because the support of our business is what helps support our mission and our vision and our cause. We are going to be doing some holiday boxes, subscription boxes going out for Christmas. So those of you that are looking to shop for Christmas and shop with a business that has a great cause behind it, make sure that you visit our website so you can get the latest and greatest in the fashion accessory world. In addition to that, I just want to also just tell everybody, just remember to love your neighbor, love thy neighbor as thyself, and just ask and reach out. Just knock on the door of the person next door to you and just say, you know, I know it's COVID-19. We can put our mask on, right? But just say, how you doing? Like, everybody is this isolation that's going on right now. You just never know what somebody is facing. And just you coming to be a smiling face at their door could be just what they need at that moment. So just reach out, love your neighbor, and just keep on keeping on.
You are so amazing. I think that's wonderful, but a couple of points stand out. Number one, product services are one thing, but people support people. And you're sharing your story today. It may not mean a lot to you, but I believe that it meant a lot of the people who tuned in, because we often feel that we're alone and that no one else has gone through what we've gone through. So to watch someone who is so established and doing her own thing tell us her story, I think it helped a lot of people. So I applaud what you're doing with the jewelry. Definitely would love for you to be a part of our 2-day teleconference on October 9th and October 10th. We have some wonderful exhibitor booths, but I know that I'm going to turn on the television one day or go on social media, and you are going to be speaking in front of crowds of millions of people. And I'm like, I remember she was on my show. I see it, and I see it for you. So I just want to thank you all for being here on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. We definitely appreciate your support, but please, we appreciate you watching the show, but also go ahead and share the show and contact our guests. Visit their websites, pick up a copy of their book, go ahead and pick up some unique jewelry. If you don't really, you know, have a reason to buy, just buy it for me, order it for me. Just pick out something you think Sharifa Hardy would like and pop it in the mail. That's how we solve that problem, because I'm a shopper. I love jewelry, so find me something cute. So if you want to find out more about how I can help your business, if you want to go ahead and pick up your tickets to the Power by Purpose 2-day Empowerment Teleconference, or if you are interested in being a guest, please visit the website at AskSharifa.com. Until Monday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, everyone have a safe and a blessed weekend. Bye now.